within the body. Ananta, O unlimited Lord. Bhavantam, yourself. Eva, indeed. He, certainly. Atat, everything separate from you. Achajantaha, rejecting. Mrigayanti, search out. Santaha, the saintly devotees. Asantam, unreal. Api, even. Anti, present nearby. Ahim, the illusion of a snake. Anturena, without negating. Santam, real. Gunam, the rope. Tam, that. Kimhu, weather. Yanti, appreciate. Santaha, persons who are spiritually situated. It's a translation. O unlimited Lord, the saintly devotees seek you out within their own bodies by rejecting everything separate from you. Indeed, how can discriminating persons appreciate the real nature of a rope lying before them until they refute the illusion that it is a snake? So you can repeat, O unlimited Lord, the saintly devotees seek you out within their own bodies by rejecting everything separate from you. Indeed, how can discriminating persons appreciate the real nature of a rope lying before them until they refute the illusion that it is a snake? So, purport by His Divine Grace, of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, one may argue that a person should cultivate self-realization and at the same time pursue sense gratification for the material body. This proposition is herein refuted by the example of misidentifying a rope as a snake. One who mistakes a rope for a snake becomes fearful and thinks of the so-called snake. But upon discovering that the so-called snake is actually a rope, he experiences a different emotion, relief, and can then ignore the rope. Similarly, because we misunderstand the material body to be the self, we are experiencing many emotions in relation to the body. Upon discovering, however, that the body is simply a bag of material chemicals, we carefully note how this illusion was created, and those then lose interest in the body. Discovering that we are actually an eternal spirit, an eternal soul within the body, we naturally focus our attention on that real self. Those who are saintly and wise always cultivate Krishna consciousness, spiritual knowledge, having transcended the foolish misidentification of the body as the self. Such Krishna-conscious persons go on to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who dwells within the material body as the Supersoul, the witness and guide of every living entity. Realization of the Supersoul and the individual soul is so pleasing and satisfying that a self-realized person automatically gives up everything irrelevant to his spiritual advancement. So again, Antara bhavenanta bhavantameva yatat jajanto mrigayanti santaha asantamap yan jahim antarena santam gunang tangim huyanti santaha. So om agana tivananda shaganjana shlakaya chakshur meditam yena tusmai shikurve namaha. So the two topics I want to talk about here are, one, of course, is maintaining material attachments, in spite of understanding so many instructions in the matter, which is also one of the offenses on chanting Hare Krishna, and then also the importance of being able to discriminate matter from spirit. And it's actually not that easy. It's actually quite complicated because it gets more and more subtle too. It's not just simply gross, you know, hey, you're not the body, but it involves more subtle things. All right, so first we'll talk about maintaining material attachments, which is what's mentioned in the purport here, that one may argue that a person should cultivate self-realization at the same time pursue sense gratification for the material body. And the example I can give in this regard is the example that was given by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur of a marriage party. So, nothing wrong with marriage parties, don't worry. We're not criticizing marriages in this class. There was a marriage party once, and the marriage party had to go. It's interesting, I mean, just a side issue. When you have Indian marriage parties, they actually, the whole family has to go, not only go to the wedding, but they actually go back and forth, because they take the groom one place and they go to another place. If you read about Lord Chaitanya's second marriage, it's quite interesting. And then there's even a bathing ceremony where you bathe the groom, and actually an abhishek for the groom before he gets married. Of course, we're not going to do that, don't worry. It's enough to be drowned in the ocean of material existence, what to speak of being bathed. So, anyway, so this marriage party was going from one place to another. In those days, they didn't have airplanes and things like that, so they had to go down the river. So, the relatives got on the big boat, and in those days, actually, you know, they had to row the boats and pole the boats. Like if you go to Mayapur, you see actually they use poles sometimes to go across the river because it's so shallow, or row, etc. So nowadays, of course, they have diesel engines on some of the boats. So anyway, the marriage party thought, well, we'll just go to the marriage next morning and we'll get a chance to rest in the boat. All right, so they rested in the boat, and all night long, the workers, the rowers, they were rowing, you know, row, row, row your boat, and gently down the river, as the song goes. And they were expecting to wake up the next morning, the marriage party, and to be at the marriage. And so they woke up the next morning, and poof, we haven't moved an inch, or as they say, a meter. We haven't moved any distance. And so they're thinking, what's happening? You know, these people have been rowing with all their strength all night long, and we haven't gone anywhere. And they did a thorough examination, investigation, and they found out that the anchor was still there. In other words, you don't go somewhere if you have an anchor in it. Isn't it? I mean, I used to go boating, and we know that you have to take the anchor out before you're going to go anywhere. So, and sometimes, actually, we can't get the anchor out. This is an interesting thing when I had a boat, and you had to cut the rope. And it's painful because you had to lose an anchor, and anchors are expensive. So it's like the material nature, too. Sometimes you have to cut Chidanti, that would means to cut. One has to cut with the rope of knowledge the attachments that one has. And it's painful, just like losing the money that you spent on the anchor. And anchors, are, like you said, they can cost $500, $1,000 or even more. And so, oh my God, all that money's lost. Oh my God, all my sense gratification's lost. Anyway, so therefore it's important to cut one's attachment, because you're not going to make much advancement as long as you're attached like that. And just like it's described that there's the pravritti marg and the nivritti marg. These are the two. Marg means paths. Path. So pravritti means the path of basically accepting things, not only accepting things in Krishna's service, you know, which is called yukta vairagya, which is very good, but accepting things for one's sense gratification because it's allowed. You know, you have certain licenses for sense gratification. So, you know, sometimes we accept things because it's allowed. It's not against the principles, Prabhu. You know, ate too much? Well, it's not against the principle. I didn't break the regular principles. I'm allowed to eat too much. Of course, you also have Achahara Prayasa Chapajapa Diabagraha Janasangas Tulayam Chasadbir Bhakti Vinashati. You also have eating too much and whatever. But at least I didn't disobey the order of the spiritual master, because where did Prabhupada ever said, don't eat too much? Well, actually, he did say that. So Prabhupada said, as far as pravritti mark, where you get a license, but you just like, let's say, push your pedal to the metal, as the expression goes. That means when you're driving a car, you speed too much. You have a license, but you're just like pushing it to the limit, and you're not going to make much spiritual advancement. So Prabhupada said there's danger even on the royal path. That was Prabhupada's expression. So one has to be careful with this pravritti mark. And of course, nivritti marg means basically to give things up, but to gradually give things up. It's not that we are criticizing people with material attachments, because then I'd have to criticize myself continually. So we are not criticizing, but the whole idea is to be able to recognize them and gradually give them up by having a higher attachment to Krishna. You can't just give them up. Of course, you have to have a higher attachment. Just like it's described when you hear about Krishna's pastimes, then you lose, if you hear from the proper person, Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, then you lose your own desire to enjoy in that particular way. So that's the remedial measure. And as the Bhagavatam states in the 10th canto, 1st chapter, Nivritta Tarshar Ubagimanat Bhavoshada Chotra Mano Biramat Ka Uttama Shloka Gunanavadat Puman Virajeta Vina Poshugnat. That the remedial measure for overcoming miseries is to actually hear about Krishna. The same time we hear about Krishna, we have to, here's the second topic of the class, we have to be able to really discriminate between matter and spirit. I mean, I know that's Sankhya philosophy, and we're not technically, we don't do the full Sankhya philosophy where you analyze the material elements like earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, the active senses, the perceptive senses. You know, this is not our process. But we have to be able to analyze, is this Krishna conscious? Is this choice I'm making, is it a Krishna conscious choice or is it not a Krishna conscious choice? You know, therefore, you know, have someone like Maharaj Parikshit, who's called Parikshit, the examiner, because he's always discriminating like that, looking for Krishna. That's what it means to always look for Krishna. Not that you just look, is he here under this cushion? No, he's not there. That would be an offense. Well, actually, he is there because it's his energy. You know, we understand. Parashya Shaktiva, Vividaya Shri Teshwa Bhavaki Jnana Balakriya Chap. So, as I mentioned, need to discriminate can be very, very subtle. In other words, one can be thinking that one is, let's say, Krishna conscious or even talking about Krishna, and one could actually be saying something that's complete nonsense. And I'm going to give you some examples about that. One is, I was listening to a class, I'm sure the Prabhupada, not a class, actually, morning walk, where Prabhupada was talking, again, to Mr. Patel. It was a very interesting discussion. Prabhupada at one point said, this is not part of the topic, Prabhupada said to Mr. Patel, why aren't all the Gujaratis here in Mumbai, or Bombay at that time, becoming Krishna conscious. And Mr. Patel said, I'm a Gujarati. I'm representing all the Gujaratis. You know, kind of stupid answer. So anyway, so one time during this morning walk, Prabhupada was talking about being detached from the material world or surrendering to Krishna. And then it was either Mr. Patel or some other man gave the example. He said, it's just like the gopis when Krishna stole their clothes. They eventually surrendered to Krishna and came out of the river naked. And Prabhupada got angry. He said, no, that's Mayavad philosophy. No, it's really interesting. You know, why is that pastime Mayavad philosophy? It's not the pastime is Mayavad philosophy. But the guy was taking it in a metaphorical way. You understand? That actually the gopis... Prabhupada said the gopis came out of the river naked, not because they were surrendering to Krishna, because they wanted Krishna to be their husband. So, it's like a subtle point, isn't it? If you think about it. You know, some devotee may say that, that we have to surrender to Krishna, and that's why the gopis took off, came out of the river naked when Krishna asked them, because they came to the point of surrender. And so you can't do that. It's very subtle. Very, very subtle. As soon as one applies these metaphorical points, then it becomes very, very subtle. And then also talking about the subject of rasabhas. Rasabhas, of course, means the mixture of rasas. Rasa means like a taste. Like we have, Shanta ras and Dasha ras, Sakya ras, Vatsalya ras, Madhurya ras. The different tastes of the different relationships that people have with Krishna. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had Swarup Damodar Goswami analyze any sort of work that people wanted to present to him, to see if there was any rasabhas. Because if there's rasabhas, it could actually indicate, again, impersonal or Mayavad philosophy. And so, Balabhacharya one time, he presented something that had rasabhas, And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got really... I know, now it wasn't Balabhacharya, it was another person, sorry. And I forgot the person's name. And Lord Chaitanya got very upset, considering... because it was like Lord Chaitanya, he was describing Lord Chaitanya as the soul of the body of Lord Jagannath. In other words, he was considering Lord Jagannath's body to be material. And that of course, is hellish intelligence, or hellishness, to consider the body of the deity to be made of stone or wood, or to consider the acharya to be an ordinary person. The Marchabudyasu Yeta Sarvadeva Mayo Guru. But these things can actually creep in. That's why it's important when one is composing Vaishnav literature that one be realized. Otherwise one will commit the offense of rasabhas. And so it's another example of, I would say, a more subtle form of Maya, but it's just as much Maya. In fact, it's probably worse than someone just like grossing out or, being gross and trying to enjoy the body. That's one thing. But committing offenses, it's actually worse. So sometimes you have these subtle things that are actually worse than a gross Maya. And the other, another example I'm going to give is the one I gave the other day. Again, Prabhupada talking on the beach with Mr. Patel, and then someone came up, or Mr. Patel came up, or someone came up, and said that we reject the offering of meat to the goddess Kali. We reject that whole portion of the Vedas, basically. Obviously, I don't do that. I don't follow that injunction. But Prabhupada again said, that's Mayavad philosophy. Or that's not actually not Mayavad, it's Nashtika, which means like Buddhist philosophy. Sorry, I got it wrong. Prabhupada said that's Buddhist philosophy, because the Mayavadis don't reject the Vedas. The Mayavadis accept the Vedas with the impersonal interpretation. But the Buddhists, they reject the Vedas. So you're a Buddhist. That's what Prabhupada said to the guy. The Prabhupada was very, very strong. Very, very strong and just always analyzing, you know, what is Maya? Or what is wrong, what is not right, and what is Krishna consciousness? And so that it's really important to have training in this regard. And so that means basically somehow or other integrating Prabhupada's understanding into one's own heart and reading enough of Srila Prabhupada's books so one understands how to discriminate. And that discrimination should be based upon what is pleasing to Krishna, what is, and rejecting what is not pleasing to Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya's surrendering principles are, to accept everything favorable, to reject everything unfavorable. And, as described here, let's see, limit alert, the saintly devotees seek you out within their own bodies by rejecting everything. So in other words, there's a positive and a negative here. They seek Krishna out within their own bodies by rejecting everything separate from you. In other words, they see everything, just to put it in a positive, they see everything connected to Krishna. And as I often quote one of my favorite verses, Yomam Pashati Sarvatra, Sarvam Chamayu Pashati Tashaham Pranashyami Sacha Mena Pranashyati. That one should see Krishna in everything and see Krishna everywhere, and that person is not lost to Krishna, nor is Krishna lost to him. And so that's really the point. To, first of all, to see what is pleasing to Krishna and see what is displeasing to Krishna and act accordingly. And secondly, when something happens, to see Krishna behind it and not see something separate from Krishna. As pointed out in Parikshit Maharaj's encounter with Kali, when Kali was torturing the bull and the cow. And the bull stated, basically, he was seeing Krishna behind everything. He wasn't blaming the immediate perpetrator. He wasn't overcome with anger. Because that anger is also Maya. To see things separate from Krishna, that's also illusion. To see someone as one's enemy, that's also illusion. That's not seeing Krishna. That's why Prahlad Maharaj rejected that particular conception. His two wonderful teachers, Sundar and Amarka, they were trying to teach him about friends and enemies under the jurisdiction of his father and Shukracharya, their father. And he rejected that because that's seeing duality, that's seeing something separate from Krishna. And as we quoted the other day this verse from the Bhagavatam, Bhayam, Dvitvani Vishana Shat, that one sees things in that duality, then bhaya comes or fear comes, just like the example given here. Example given here is the snake and the rope, or seeing the rope as the snake. Then you get fear. So when we see things separate from Krishna, not only do we get fear, we get anxiety, we get distress. We become miserable. You understand? So misery is caused by seeing things separate from Krishna. And you want to overcome the misery, you see things connected to Krishna. Very easy. Okay, on that happy note, so just one other thing that Prabhupada said. This body is simply a bag of material chemicals. I'm not Prabhupada, actually Prabhupada. I like this. Anyway, it's the old, sounds like the old days in Krishna consciousness. We used to talk like that all the time. because we misunderstand the material body. Upon discovering, however, that the body is simply a bag of material chemicals, we carefully note how this illusion was created and then lose interest in the body. Yeah. I mean, of course, at the same time, take care of the body for Krishna. It's not that we lose interest and torture the body, because that's, according to Krishna, that, and then you're known as a demon. So, yeah, you have a question? Yeah.
Obviously, it comes from what you're saying is attaching ourselves to Krishna.
Yeah, seeing Krishna everywhere.
And everything. But then I'm wondering about, like, how to get the depth out of that, because, you know, intellectually, yes, we can understand that we're not the body, but, you know, and in fact, even go, and it talks about it, like, you know, how we can really, you know, on an intellectual level, even claim that we're detached, but we're not really detached. But
yeah. Well, just try to be attached to Krishna. It's not a question of a detachment. It's quite of an attachment to Krishna. Rasa Varjam Rachopyasa Padam Jursa Nivartade. It says rejecting everything separate from Krishna here. So it appears to be a negative statement, but it means accepting, let's take it as a positive, accepting everything as being connected to Krishna, or seeing everything connected to Krishna. So it's just like understanding it's Krishna. You know, and I mean, it's interesting, I was thinking about this. It's just like in Christianity, you have the statement of Jesus Christ, "My Lord, why hast thou forsaken me?" And we understand God has not forsaken us. But of course, that was, let me explain that. Well, I'm not criticizing Jesus Christ. That was actually Viparlamba Seva. You know, where are you, God? You know, it's an intense separation from God. So, because it's pure devotee, I'm not going to criticize him in that regard. But the point is, God hasn't forsaken us. And he's like a kind parent. He's gradually guiding us to the standpoint of Nirmana Moha Jita Sangha Dosha of Yatma Nitya Vinivritta Kama, becoming free from the Dvandvara Vimukta Sukada Samgyarga Chanchamudha Padamavyam Tam, become free from false prestige. I mean, I'm talking about myself, I'm not criticizing anyone else. I mean, we're so proud that we know everything, that we're important. Like Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you know, the famous story, which I love to tell, that, you know, Prabhupada said there's many universes, you know, unlimited universe, like seeds and a bag of seeds. And then he said there's one universe where there's a four-headed Brahma, and in that one universe there's many, many millions, billions and billions, trillions of planets. And there's one planet, the Earth planet, and on this Earth planet, there's many, many, many countries and cities. And there's one city, Los Angeles. And in Los Angeles, there's probably thousands or tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of roads. And there's one road, you know, with a Watsika Avenue, wherever the temple was at that point. And then in that, and there's many houses on that road or in that street. And there's one house, and in that house, there's many people, and in that, one of those people, his name was Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and he thinks he's the supreme controller. So, I mean, it's really funny, but it applies to us. Or me. I don't want to criticize anyone. So, you know, you're just so proud. So, you know, Krishna just sometimes has to apply a little bit of tough love for us, on us. And to see Krishna everywhere and everything. But that doesn't excuse our foolishness is not Krishna.
What about, you know, just something else that comes up in our mind is that we also try to avoid pain.
That's good. That's a good point.
You know, when detachment happens, we have to go through pain. I guess that's just taking shelter of Krishna too, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, just like, whoops.
It's easy to avoid pain.
Yeah, I mean, we should try to avoid pain whenever possible. I mean, it's not a bad thing. But, you know, sometimes we have to, in the process of serving Krishna, you know, a certain amount of pain. I'm not saying, you know, that we become masochists, you know, just like the early Christians. I went to Ripley's, believe it or not, one time, and I saw what the early Christians used to do. Not only the hair shirts, I mean, they had like racks, you know, yeah, and whips. You know, if you were going to be a monk in a monastery in Europe, you know, you were whipping each other. I don't think that would go very well in America. We just, if I started whipping the devotees, they wouldn't be allowed to whip me. But anyway, so, so, anyway. But, you know, sometimes you just push through, you know, just like, you know, many mornings, it's time to wake up and, you know, the body doesn't feel like waking up. I mean, I'm not saying, if one is having extreme pain, you don't, you know, that's another thing. But, you know, I just push through it, you know, just. Or so you don't feel like, one devotee I was listening to, the Prabhupada memory, says, sometimes doesn't feel like dancing, so she just forces herself to dance and then she feels like it. Prabhupada said, anyway.